In Matthew 6:21, Jesus gives a timeless financial and spiritual principle. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's a simple concept and proven true countless times. But why is it true? The answer may surprise and challenge you. We'll unpack it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, first of all, we can all agree that God's word has power. Isaiah 55:11 tells us, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." The Holy Spirit is the author of God's word, and he gives it, first and foremost, the power to save, but to accomplish any and all the things that God shall purpose. So that brings us back to Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is a truth that has both a positive and negative connotation. The negative is, if you spend the resources God gives you on ungodly things, your heart will follow after those things. In the positive sense, then, the verse tells us that if we use God's resources in righteous and godly ways, our heart will naturally follow after those things. You can also look at the verse in two other ways. Is Jesus saying that the emotion comes before the act or after? Does the heart follow the treasure, or does the treasure follow the heart? And why is that important? Well, it's important because all of this is leading up to something we talk about a lot here on the program, the power of money. You see, money has power, and that's what Jesus is really saying, and probably why there are over 2,300 verses in the Bible dealing with money and possessions. You may not want to put your treasure, and it's not really yours, by the way, on godly things, such as giving to your church. Maybe that's very difficult for you to do. If so, Matthew 6:21 should give you hope and encouragement. It says you can change your attitude by changing your actions. Now, how exactly does that work, especially if money has so much power over our lives? Well, money has power, but so does God's word. And so does giving. In fact, giving has a very specific power. It has the power to break money's control over us. That might seem counterintuitive, but it's true. The late Pastor Charles Stanley liked to say that we need to hold money with an open hand, because if we close our fist around it, it takes control of our thinking and our behavior. Financial teacher and author Ron Blue says, quoting now, "It's not that my heart is where I put my treasure. It's that where I put my treasure, there is where my heart will go. The heart follows the treasure, not the other way around. Jesus wants me to treasure him and a relationship with him, and I can't if money or mammon is my God," unquote. Jesus says a lot about money in the Gospels, most of it warning us about its power. A little further in Matthew 6, in verse 24, he says, "We must make a choice. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Note that Jesus doesn't say it's difficult to serve God and money. He says it's impossible to serve God and money. He's saying you have to make a choice, God or money. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul tells us what happens when we make the wrong choice. He writes, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." If you doubt that's the case, consider that loving money more than God is really idolatry. It's no different than the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. Now, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with acquiring wealth and acquiring more than you need. If the Lord didn't allow that, we wouldn't have anything to give. Money is not the root of evil. The love of money is. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 19, 23, and 24. It reads, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." A bit of hyperbole there, perhaps, to make a point. If you love riches, it will be difficult to enter heaven because you're choosing money over God. The only way to break the power that money has over you is to give generously to God's kingdom. I hope this encourages you to be a generous giver, starting with your local church and then expanding to other ministries as you're able. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does it mean to overcome? It means victory. But there are moments when it seems the world, the worldly powers led by Satan and against God, has won. It seems to triumph when I cling to something other than Jesus. The Bible teaches that the world is not overcome by our perfection. Instead, we triumph over the world by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is it that overcomes the world? 1 John 5 provides the answer. Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, both God and man, He is the righteous one, and His death paid the penalty for your sin. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in Him alone. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
We're continuing our study in the book of James this week. We'll find out why gossip is a destructive sin, not a form of entertainment. We'll discover how to identify and resist even its subtler forms, and we'll learn to plan properly without presumption. That's our focus this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Tennessee. Terry, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Yes. I've got a condo that I've been here 11 years, and the fees have gone up 10 years.
Yeah.
So I just wondered, it's getting a little overwhelming. Should I pursue buying a home and selling this, even though I'm going to have to put $100,000, $150,000 out of pocket to do so?
Well, it's at least worth considering, Terry, and you bring up a great point. You know, we always encourage folks when they're making a purchase, buying, let's say, a condo, to look at what's happened with the HOA factors over the or HOA fees over a 3-year period. Because if you see an increase in, you know, 3 consecutive years, in your case, you've seen it over 10, you know, that may be a sign that, you know, the building is, you know, going to continue to be very costly, and it's not someplace you want to be. It's also just a significant chunk of your monthly cost. So oftentimes, you know, we focus on the down payment, the length of the loan, the mortgage interest rate, you know, when we're considering mortgages and home prices, and those are the biggest factors in your monthly expenses. But homeowners association dues can add a sizable chunk if you buy a condo. And obviously, with a single family home, you can have the HOA dues as well, but often they don't involve the same kind of, you know, ongoing maintenance for an older building that's just running into all kinds of costs. And so I think you've got to factor that in and just say, okay, if I didn't have this, what would that mean in terms of how much I could actually spend on a monthly basis and basically be even? And would that be better? And now I have a little bit more control over future increases. Now, obviously, you know, homeowners insurance is going to continue to rise. Property insurance, as home values rise, is going to keep going up. But at least if you take the HOA off the table in a condo, especially an older condo, you have a little bit more control over, you know, the future cost increases that could ultimately price you out of a place that you're living in. But, you know, you've got to take a look at, okay, what would it take, to your point, for me to make a move to a single family home? What kind of equity do I have in this condo? What would I need in terms of a down payment? And how would that ultimately affect the housing category? You know, normally we look at principal, interest, taxes, and insurance as no more than 25% of your take-home pay, but then you have those other housing-related expenses, and certainly an HOA would be part of that. So I would affirm your thought here, Terry, that it's at least worth considering, especially because you've seen this history of increases over a decade, which tells me that this building is older, it's in need of repair, and these may continue. Does that all make sense?
It does. It does. I just needed to hear a yes, because it's just so expensive, and home's going to be expensive too. But
yes.
I just like the idea of going out searching for a home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would certainly be worthwhile. If you haven't been out there in the housing market recently, you may be surprised at what things are going for, just given the increases we've seen over the last 3 years. And despite high interest rates and a looming recession, housing prices really haven't dipped this year at all. In fact, they're up on the year. So I think perhaps a next step, Terry, would be to get a great realtor, somebody who, you know, specializes in your area of town, who could help you understand the market, take you out to look at a few things, consider the full cost of ownership. And if debt is going to be involved, you're going to have to look at the impact of these high interest rates. If not, you need to compare, you know, the utilities and the upkeep of the property, and you need to understand that you need to be putting away at probably at least 1% a year, you know, just for maintenance and upkeep, because you're going to have more of it in a single family home. So we've got to compare apples to apples, but I think just given this history, it would at least be worth considering. I hope that's helpful to you, Terry. We appreciate you being on the program today. God bless you, my friend. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about financially and help you process that through a biblical lens. Again, lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas and talk to Jamie. Go right ahead.
Hello there. I have a quick question. You know, I'm trying to open a food truck business, and there's certain services that I'm trying to get done on the truck, but some of these guys, they give you like this note as a receipt. What's a valid receipt to the IRS when I'm trying to claim that money back as a credit?
Yes. Well, you know, you've got several options there. I mean, of course, canceled checks and other documents reflecting proof of payment. You cash register tape receipts, account statements, credit card receipts, invoices. I mean, these are all the documents that you can use to document expenses. I would keep everything orderly and, you know, don't just throw it in a shoebox. I mean, you can. It's just going to create more work at the end of the year. So I think whatever you can do to stay on top of it, to stay organized and document your expenses. But basically, you're looking to deduct business-related expenses, and you're wanting to make sure that you have the appropriate documentation for the IRS. Is that right?
Yes, sir. What is actually valid? Is Zelle valid or Cash App or anything like that? Are those applications valid as well?
In terms of you making a payment for a business expense to someone else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said as a receipt for the IRS at the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, that's obviously a record of the payment. The question is, what was that payment for? And I think that's where, you know, having an invoice to go along with a Zelle payment or, you know, one of those third-party platforms is fine. But it's not a matter of just showing that the money left your account. It's being able to document what it was for. And that's where an account statement or an invoice, something that is from the person that you're buying whatever it is from, that goes along with that Zelle transaction, that's really going to be key for you to document these expenses.
So this company has to be registered with the IRS or something like that. What if they're not? Then you just give me like some bogus no.
So
responsibility after that?
What it is, what is it that you're buying? What are these expenses?
I'm actually putting some decals on the food truck so that I can show when people approach the truck, so that I can show the kind of food that I sell, you know,
yeah,
the name of the business, stuff like
okay.
that.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, they don't have to. I mean, their standing with the IRS or anything like that is not of your concern. What you're concerned with is getting a receipt that shows that you made a payment and what it was for, where that's clearly spelled out. And as long as you can document that you made the purchase for the decals, you get a receipt for those, then that's a legitimate business expense. You are, you know, buying those decals to be able to market, you know, what it is you're selling. And, you know, that's very appropriately a business expense. You just need some documentation showing that you made the purchase and what it was for. And then you can pass that along to your CPA when you prepare your taxes. Hey, God bless you, Jamie. We appreciate your call today. Back with much more after this.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. But there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference. Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word, And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open, and we'd love to tackle your questions today. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning. Good to hear from you guys. I keep getting some emails and text messages from companies about worrying about removing your cash from banks and do you have your money there and digital currencies coming in September. And is any of that true? And is there anything we should do about it if it is?
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate it. I mean, I think certainly there's a lot of fear mongering going on out there. And so you have to be careful and wise and shrewd about how you interpret this data. And I think seeking wise counsel is a key part of that. And clearly that's what you're doing. You know, the first quarter of 2023, Kathy, was pretty tumultuous for the banking industry, where we had the FDIC being appointed receiver for Silicon Valley Bank, SVB. It was the 15th largest bank in the U.S. with about $200 billion in assets. I mean, it was a major, it was regional, but it was large. And then we saw the regulators close Signature Bank, and again, FDIC became receiver. It did its job. It stepped in, kept the liquidity there, and protected the depositors. The investors lost money, but the depositors were protected, and that's the role of the the FDIC. So these were the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history after Washington Mutual back in 2008. Now, we also saw, just in terms of where we go from here, comments about regulations. We've done some stress tests on the bank, and basically the action by the U.S. government calmed the markets such that those who were thinking this could be contagious and begin to spill over into a more systemic problem, we just didn't see that. And even though we've had a couple of, other blips here as of late, things are in a pretty sound situation now, much better off than what we saw in 2008, 2009, where we did have some real systemic problems. And I think, moving forward, we did see Moody's, which is Moody's Investors Service, downgrade its view of the U.S. banking system from, to negative from stable, and they just talked about the rapidly deteriorating operating environment. Most people shrug that off that are, economists just looking at what was really behind that. At the end of the day, I don't think there's any action that needs to be taken. Could we have a debt crisis at some point in this country? Absolutely. That's plausible. But I think that's much further down the road. Right now, with the debt levels we have now, it's absolutely sustainable, just given the size of our economy. We have the biggest and largest economy in the world. The U.S. dollar is absolutely the world's reserve currency. That's not going to change anytime soon. 90% of trades are done in U.S. dollars. 60% of the global reserves are held in U.S. dollars. There's just not an alternative that's viable today, despite BRICS, despite the euro, despite, anything else. There's just not another option out there. Now, do we need to make some changes in the future with regard to fiscal restraint and spending, getting our debt levels under control, dealing with the, aging workforce and the fact that, we're not having as many kids? Absolutely. And that's why I think it's so important that we're voting for people who share our values, who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation and productivity, and that man is a blessing and created to be a worker. And through that, economic expansion and productivity creates a virtuous cycle of generosity and provision and economic expansion. And that's why the U.S. has, you know, taken off like a rocket ship over countries that were far older, because we understood those biblical principles. Now, to the extent we violate those, there's a penalty that comes with that. But again, I don't think we're facing anything imminent with regard to the banking system, the U.S. dollar, the stock market, that would warrant us to make a change, you know, moving out of the banking system, not keeping our deposits where they are, you know, not being invested in stock and bond portfolios with a proper allocation to gold. I just don't see any reason why we would abandon those strategies, especially given the fact that that's really the very best way to offset the loss of purchasing power that comes with our assets because of inflation. We've got to be growing our money, or it becomes less and less effective because it just buys less. So I know there's a lot to process there, but I think the short answer is anything that's saying there's something imminent coming, you need to take immediate action, you need to exit the stock market or the banking system, I would say is overplaying the situation significantly, because I think any potential significant risk to us here in the U.S. is much further down the road. Is that helpful?
Yeah, sure. That's great. Thank you very much. I sure appreciate it.
I'm happy to do it, Kathy. You too. Thank you for calling today. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about generosity. And just a moment, I'll share. In my experience, there's five things that really stand in the way of us maximizing our giving. I'll share those with you, and maybe you can think through your own life and just see if perhaps one of these is tripping you up when it comes to your giving. Let's head to Arkansas next. Again, lines open, 800-525-7000. Hi, Julia. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about my, I am with a Stronghold Wealth Management PLC. I have an independent advisor. And I started maybe 15 years ago with it in Timothy Plan. Then, you know, they changed me to Evening Tide or Ameritrade. And then now they're going to Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, especially going to Charles Schwab, you know, I felt that my interests were in Timothy Plan and in the, you know, with there was no alcohol or cigarettes or things like that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You know, in that. So my question is, should I just go ahead and stay with Charles Schwab, or could I go back myself with Timothy funds?
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. So I'd love to talk about that, the difference between your custodian, where your assets are held, and your investments like Timothy Plan or Eventide. I've got to take a break, Julia. Stay right there, and we'll talk about this just around the corner.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. We're going to head right back to the phones and talk to Julia here in just a moment. We do have some lines open. If you have a financial question today, whether you want to talk about our opening topic, how do you give wisely, or anything else you're thinking about, your spending plan, your investments, maybe it's your credit score or paying down debt, whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. We'll help you process that and make a wise decision in light of biblical principles, themes, and ideas that we certainly pull from Scripture. The number to call today with lines open is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Julia in Arkansas, and she's just wondering, she has an advisor. She's been invested with the Timothy Plan for some time. She had invested directly with the Fund family, and this is using faith-based investing principles. We're big fans of the work at Timothy Plan here at Faith and Finance. But now her advisor has moved her from one custodian to another. And in addition to Timothy Plan, has added some other fund families. She mentioned Eventide among them, and is just wondering, should I be doing this or should I just go straight back to Timothy? And Julia, I think it really comes down to the first question is, once you decide, okay, the money I'm investing has the right time horizon, and I want to invest in line with my convictions, meaning you want to use faith-based investments that screen out companies that are misaligned with your biblical values and perhaps even screen in companies that are intentionally seeking a kingdom or human flourishing outcome. That's great. And then the next question is, okay, do I want to do this myself, or do I want to hire an advisor to make these investment decisions for me in light of my values and my goals? And if you want to do it yourself, one of the best ways to do that is to go directly to a mutual fund family. You mentioned Timothy Plan. That'd be a great one. You can invest directly with them. Your money doesn't have to be invested by an advisor. And then you would look at all of their fund options, the small cap value and the aggressive growth and the growth in income. And then you could look at their bond options and their international options. And then you would decide how to allocate the money that you have among those investment options so that you have the right allocation that's consistent with your age, risk tolerance, goals and objectives, and it would go directly into those funds. The second option is to say, I want an advisor who also shares my values, but who's waking up thinking about where should I be positioned and what are the best fund families for me to be with? And in those fund families, what are the best investments that represent the right allocation for me? And if you're going to use an advisor, they will use a third-party custodian, which you want, because that's going to give you the SIPC protection. It's going to give you, somebody who's giving you the monthly statements. It's not coming from the advisor's, computer. It's coming from an institution like a Charles Schwab or a Fidelity. But that's not that has nothing to do with the investments that the advisor selects for you. Once then your account is at that custodian, and in your case, you said it was Schwab, which is a fine one as far as I'm concerned, then it's a matter of, okay, now what investments are going into that account? And as you said, your advisor has diversified you away from being exclusively in Timothy plan funds, and it sounds like they've added some other faith-based investing fund families, which I don't have any problem with. You know, there's been 55 new faith-based investment funds that have come online in the last just 3 years. And some of these are world-class investments that would also be aligned with your values, Julia, but give the advisor a few other options to maximize the return and limit your downside. And so I think it would be very appropriate if you're using an advisor to be at a Charles Schwab and to have a portfolio that includes more than just one fund family, you know, and goes beyond Timothy plan. But if you say, listen, I don't feel like I need an advisor. I know I just want to be with Timothy plan. I'm happy selecting the investments myself. Absolutely. You could just go right back direct to Timothy plan. But I think what you're experiencing with the advisor is very normal and customary. And, you know, I certainly don't have a problem with that approach at all. In fact, I think it's a good one. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, it sounds really good. I'm so glad. I do not want to take care of it myself.
Okay.
I don't feel like I know enough about it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And the other thing is the reason that you had that change from TD Ameritrade to Schwab was just simply because Schwab bought TD Ameritrade. And so it was just a part of their long-term strategy. They added all of the TD Ameritrade customers. So TD Ameritrade went away. Everything became Schwab. And so, you know, there's another 12 million client accounts that were added to the Schwab family as a part of this acquisition. So that is nothing fishy going on there. That happened to anybody who was with TD. And again, as long as this advisor is one who really understands your values and can invest appropriately, then I think you're on the right track here.
Okay. Well, I think I do. I trust her and, you know, all that. And so, and I feel very open with her. So that's good. And I probably should have called her about this, my concerns.
Yeah, well, it's always a good idea to talk directly to your advisor, but I'm delighted you called here because I'm just affirming the, you know, what she's doing, and just based on what you're describing to me, I don't have any concerns whatsoever.
Okay, well, appreciate your help so much.
All right, Julia, thank you for being on the program today. May the Lord bless you. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about financially. By the way, in the next segment, just after our next break, Bob Dahl is going to stop by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer with one of those fund families that I mentioned in the faith-based investing space. Called Crossmark Global, investing in companies that are aligned with the values and priorities of Christians. Well, Bob is a regular guest on Fox Business and CNBC. He's a sought-after speaker and a Wall Street veteran, but he's also a Christ follower and understands faith-based investing. He'll be by for his normal, what is typically a Monday segment, although with the holiday yesterday, joining us on a Tuesday, to really just give us his take on what's going on in the economy, what's going on with jobs, what about inflation, what about the Chairman Powell's recent speech out at Jackson Hole. What did he have to say about interest rates? What's moving the markets this week? We'll unpack all of that as we talk to Bob Dahl in the next segment. We'll look forward to that. Let me also mention, you know, we started today by talking about giving and just the importance of giving and really the power of giving in terms of breaking the grip of money over our lives and allowing us to participate in God's activities. You know, in my experience, there's really five things that stand in the way of our generosity being maximized to its full potential. And one of those is the vision that we have. You know, you will never outgive your vision for the generosity that you're doing. What is it you're trying to accomplish? What's your why? Are you motivated by a tax savings? Or is it really to be something that honors the Lord and really is an act of worship? and the vision for the outcomes that you're pursuing in your generosity, whether that's funding your local church, funding the work of American Family Association and the transforming culture, or meeting the needs of people halfway across the globe with clean water or eradicating slave labor. I mean, whatever it is, we want to have a vision that accompanies our giving. And without that, folks, we're never going to give to our full potential. So maybe it's a time to step back and say, God, let me just evaluate my heart. Why am I giving? Am I giving freely and cheerfully and proportionally? But also, what do I want to do in partnering with you and my generosity? This is Faith and Finance. Much more to come just around the corner. Stick around.
Do you want your life to really matter? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You want to make the rest of your life the best of your life? It's not going to happen unless you put God's action plan into practice in your life. And you will have the experience one day of standing before the Lord and hearing Him say to you, "Well done."
Discover how you can hear God say, "Well done." Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
For Joy Lucius, Romans 12 has been her favorite chapter in the Bible since she was a little girl. Have you ever stopped to really think about what reasonable service means? In The Stand, Joy takes us back to creation and through Calvary to remind us just how God has planned everything. From the time He breathed life into Adam until now, we're part of that plan, and you'll be encouraged to give God everything. Read It's Only Reasonable when you visit afa.net/thestand.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Mississippi. Hi, Pam. Go right ahead.
Yes, I would like to know, how do I find those faith-based companies on the market?
Yeah, it's a great question because there is, as I mentioned, a growing number of them that are just really world-class, doing some incredible work to deploy capital into companies that have a considerable ability for appreciation, that are value-oriented, and yet have been screened in light of the values and priorities of Christians. We're actually working, Kathy, on a comprehensive list of all of those fund families, but prior to having that, and it'll be ready here very soon, one of the easy ways to do it is just to head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click on, and the menu on the top of the page, click on The Show, and that's the landing page for this radio broadcast. And when you scroll down to our underwriters, you will see those fund families. You'll see Eventide. You'll see One Ascent Investments. You'll see Lightpoint Portfolios and Guidestone. And that will give you a great starting point. And then there'll be links back to each of those fund families where you can begin to read about them. And then, as I said to the previous caller, you can either direct invest using an advisor, or you can go direct to any of those fund families that you see there. Okay?
Great. That sounds awesome. I'm managing mine on my own, so I just wanted to know. Thank you.
Well, that'll certainly give you some other options to explore as you do that. Again, faithfi.com. Just click on The Show. It's about two-thirds of the way down the page. Let's head to Mississippi. Hi, Pam. We were talking to Pam. We're going to go to Ohio. Kathy, go right ahead.
Yes, I have kind of a complicated situation. I had rolled over my IRA into an Edward Jones account in 2009, the 31st of December 2009. So once it got to Edward Jones, then I just forgot about it because of the fact that, well, it's for my retirement.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I decided to start pulling all my retirement stuff together. And to my surprise, I find I no longer have money in the Edward Jones account. And I find that it was incrementally removed between July 2010 through September 2012. So when I contacted the company to find out what's going on, they claim I am the one who requested the funds over the phone, and they sent them to me. Well, I never requested the funds. I don't find there's no cancel check, receipts, or anything of that nature. And what makes things more complicated is the fact that the checks were written on National City Bank, which was then, during some period of time, was bought out by PNC. And now it's like I have no idea where my money is. They can't give me any information other than the fact that they said I called them, asked for the money to be sent, and they sent it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and
well,
if they did, to me.
I'm so sorry to hear about this, Kathy. I know that's frustrating, and especially given how long it's been, it's going to be make it even more difficult to chase down. Obviously, there's, you know, documentation behind all of this. So, you know, wherever, so that they're saying that the check, there was physical checks cut to you with your name and mailed to you, and then you turned around and deposited them. Is that right?
Well, they did not tell me that. They just said that the check was written to me once I requested it. And then I find that one of the checks were cash through a national city in another city, not the city in which I live. So it was a national city bank in a whole new city. And so it was not me. And now I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
I'm sure where to go, what to do.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it sounds like somebody compromised your account and, you know, fraudulently, you know, removed these funds from your portfolio. Have you asked them, you know, what a good next step would be? Are they providing any guidance?
No, they're not.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think a good starting place you know, would be for you to, you know, go back to them and ask about, you know, any further documentation they can provide. And then you're going to want to, you know, report this as a fraudulent transaction. And, you know, I think, you know, as you begin to explore this, there's steps you can take. Let's do this. I'd love to have someone help you kind of walk through your next step. So I'm going to have my team get your information, and I'm going to get somebody to send you just details on where you would go from here, because there's a few different agencies that you'll want to contact to be able to report this. I mean, you obviously can file a police report. And then, you know, typically you would contact your state financial regulator or attorney general. But there are a few other places. So let's have you hold the line. We're going to get your information, and Kathy, we'll get some more information out to you. Okay. Very good. Thanks for your call today. Well, it's a Tuesday, which doesn't normally mean Bob Dahl is with us, although with yesterday being a holiday, we get the privilege to talk to Bob Dahl today. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, one of those faith-based investing fund families we were talking about earlier in the show. Bob, good morning to you.
And to you, happy Tuesday.
Yeah, great to have you. I know you were on vacation last week, so we've got 2 weeks worth of data to catch up on. We've had a federal Powell's comments since we last spoke. We've got more inflation data. We've got some jobs data. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, there's a good place to start, I guess, those items. Powell's speech at Jackson Hole was a little more hawkish than expected. Didn't talk about inflation being under control, more work to do. And yet, as you point out, we got an inflation number, PCE deflator in particular, and they were good numbers. Second month in a row, we're not out of the woods. I'm looking here year over year, 12 months, we're still 3.3 and 4.2% up. That's a core and headline inflation. That's nowhere close to two, so there's more work to be done on that score. And, of course, we had a jobs number, which was a good number, 187,000 jobs for the month of August, Rob. But interestingly, the unemployment rate ticked up from 3.5 to 3.8. That's the highest number since February of 2022. So we pointed out before some cracks in the labor market. This is another one that we need to watch carefully.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Anything else on the labor market? I know there's been a mixed bag here just as some of these numbers have been revised downward. What do you make of that, and what does that tell us about the true state of the economy?
Yeah, thanks for pointing out the adjustments for the prior 2 months were negative to a significant degree. And what it's telling us is the number of jobs being added has downshifted significantly from the first half of the year to the third quarter. And it tells us that things are slowing a little bit in the labor market, which was one of the few areas that was causing us to scratch our heads. Why is this not weakening when everything else is to some degree? And I point, as I've said many times on this call, Rob, to the lagged impacts of what the Fed has already done. We spend so much time that they're going to raise rates again, but we really need to focus on is 0 to 5.25% in a little more than a year. That has an impact, not all of which we have yet felt for the economy, and so we expect more slowdown to come.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we'll certainly watch that. Bob, I know you in your comments today are talking about the federal budget, and it's not good news. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, it's just not good news. You know, we've been in a good economy, and it looks like the federal deficit is going to be on the order of $2 trillion. That's a lot in a recession year, much less in a year when the economy is okay. And these deficits, which I call crisis size, are there as far as the eye can see, and nobody seems to be paying any attention to it. But what's going to happen, as we've talked before on this call, is that interest expense with higher interest rates that we've witnessed for the last year or two is going to make interest expense an important and growing part of the budget, crowding out other things that the government might like to spend money on. So this is not a pretty picture. It's not going to hit us over the head anytime soon, but it's just a nagging negative.
Yeah, Bob, what are the implications of this? I mean, obviously, in light of this, there's a lot of people raising a lot of concern. We need to exit the banking system. We need to exit the stock market. Things are about to implode. I mean, how would you just give us some sound thinking with regard to this, you know, the severity of this and yet our next steps in light of that?
Right. So the first point is we've been here before, post-World War II, and we dealt with it. Whether we have the political will to, the two leading candidates for the presidential nomination seem to pay no attention. In fact, both want to spend more money. So that's a concern. I think what it means, Rob, is economic growth will be a little slower than it otherwise would have been, and interest rates will be a little higher than they otherwise would have been. It's not a reason all by itself to head for the hills and, you know, put your money under a mattress at all.
Yeah.
It's just an incremental and nagging negative.
All right. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on it, and we appreciate your insights along the way. Bob, always grateful for you stopping by, my friend. Have a great day.
You're the same.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. That's going to do it for us today, folks. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll look for you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.